That's pretty amazing, and a quick cutoff too as well. So here we are. This is KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea.
KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea K224CQ Moloa'a K284AL Haleiwa.
The sun's always shining. You don't have to do anything to make the sun shine. I mean, the idea opening the heart is a misnomer. The heart's always open. The sun's always shining. You don't have to do anything to make the heart open. You don't have to do anything to make the sun shine. But any number of things can block our reception of the sun. A cloud. The sun's on the other side of the planet. Nighttime. A roof. Our eyes are closed. We're facing in the other direction. None of it affects the nature of the sun. None of it affects the nature of the heart. Our work isn't, ironically, even to open the heart. It's to let go of what blocks the natural vastness that the word heart hardly holds.
Because the only thing that we're armed with is the truth and the people. And you guys get the guns. You know? You get the guns.
I want to say that the Kauai Earth Connection is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee, Qingyang Village, and Kalahale Chiropractor.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate grown Kauai Coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Thank you so much for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea K224CQ Moloa'a K284AL Haleiwa.
Radio. Radio.
I got it.
Radio!
Are we ready?
Radio. It's like magic, man.
All right.
Just like that, it flies through the air.
You're talking to the world right now, sir.
Okay, let's start. This is Kauai Earth Connection. We're here every month. We talk for an hour every month about the conservation environmental issues on the island of Kauai, and we only talk for an hour, so subsequently we really don't have an opportunity to take calls. It's not a call-in show just because it's only an hour show.
And news and commentary.
News and commentary, and you know, it's just our opinions on what's been going on this last month on the island of Kauai vis-a-vis the environment and conservation issues. So we always start out the show with the Surfrider Foundation Blue Water Task Force water quality results. You want to take it? Yeah. This is, by the way, this is Gordon Lebeds, and I am honored to be here. I'm a West Side guy, and I come all the way up to Princeville to do this show, and it's
Thanks for putting it together. I mean, you do it every we do it every third Monday following the second Tuesday.
That's it. Yeah.
Every month for how many years? We were trying to figure that out. I was sitting
since
with
Diana,
the
my wife ran for mayor against Bernie the first time he ran, and he's on his second term, so it's been a long time.
Yeah, and the sheriff.
Diana had to give up the show because she was running for mayor.
So I'm not sure how long, five, 6 years?
6 years, I think.
So,
pushing
so
six. Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
We're old school now.
That's right.
God. Yeah, it's time for us to retire and give it to younger guys.
We're still here.
Gold watch.
Yeah.
Severance package.
Anyway, so the water quality was good, I thought, this month.
You know, it's the best it's been.
Shockingly good.
It's the best it's been in a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's so dry, I guess, is really what it comes down to.
Yeah. So go ahead. Why don't you read all the good spots? All the healthy, clean water, safe to stick your head in the water spots on the island of
Hawaii.
Here
we go. Kali'iwai, less than 10. Onahola Bay, less than 10. Kealia, Kapa'a Beach Park, Kalapaki Bay, Waiohai, PKs, Salt Pond, Kahalani,
Did we ever figure out where that
was?
No,
I got to find out.
Homer's? Where's Homer's?
I don't know. Isn't that awful?
Yeah, I know PK's is Prince Guijillo Condos. It's a surf break over in Boipu.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Isn't that Horner's? I don't think it's Homo.
Homer's.
Homer's, not Horner's.
Horner's.
No, it's Horner's.
It's Horner's.
I'm not a surfer.
Yeah, it might be a surf spot. Well, you know, who knows?
So, Lauai Bay, that's new.
That's new. Yeah, that's new. That's by the National Tropical Botanical Gardens over there in where the Queen used to have her summer home down there by the beach.
Yeah. Pine Trees was good.
That's
and the Bull.
Shore. The bull at Hanalei Bay. The bull is actually a generic surfer word. That, and there's a number of spots on the island called the Bull, but this particular spot is in Hanalei Bay.
Okay. All those were less than 10, or 10 or less, which is considered safe. Anything above 10 is considered unsafe.
Yeah. It's considered abnormal. And
abnormal.
Unsafe is over 100.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
When it's 104, you shouldn't be in the water.
Okay. So what do we got here? So
Kalapaki Bay.
The reason
is
I
still...
say that is because, I've been testing Pakala Bay since we started the water testing program, which was many, many years ago, and it's never been less than 100. And here it is,
31,
Pakala Bay. And you know the interesting thing is again, I'm every morning surfer, and I've had this otitis externa, this swimmer's ear, for a couple of months now, so badly that I've decided to not surf this week. Instead, I go stand up paddling, how ironic that the week I don't surf is the cleanest damn water in the whole.
Figures, huh?
Decade or whatever. Anyway, 31 for Pakala Bay, red letter day. Rock Quarry, that's over there by the lighthouse, Lauai Stream is another National Tropical Botanical Garden.
Yeah, good for them for adding more as time rolls on.
Look how clean that stream is.
63.
Yeah, most streams are really polluted.
Well, Wainiha.
Yeah. Wainiha's over the top, New Maui.
120.
Yeah. But these are not really bad numbers for these streams.
Well, because the geo mean for Niamalu is 2,437, but this week,
that's
294.
Right.
We did good.
Yeah, the Waimea River is 669. I get that sample. That's right on the beach in the ocean. Now here's another one, Moikeha?
Canal. I wonder if that's the one in Kapa there.
Oh, I bet that's where Katie Music, Dr. Music
is
trying
to
grow
by
the coral there.
By the library in Kapa.
By the library.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I bet
that's what that is.
That's 695.
Yeah, it's not too good.
Not safe.
Not good.
No. Honolulu.
Honolulu is always bad. But it's good compared to what it usually is. 749. I mean, it's only...
700 times.
700. And then you got Gillens, which is shockingly bad all the time. Gillens is that little house down by Maha'u Lefu.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the big controversial area.
And the champion, always.
Waipolii Stream is the stream that runs through Maha'u Lefu. And it
passes the sinkhole and comes out at the beach there.
And that drains the proposed new dairy farm.
And it's already the bacterial count. It's 14,000.
Yeah, it's the worst stream on the whole island, and they're about to dump cow poop into it. Not
allegedly.
Allegedly.
Zero emissions.
Yeah, it's zero
emissions.
Zero waste.
In the building, not outside the building.
Yeah, zero waste cow poop. Yeah.
Oh, so that means they just pump everything outside the building. Zero waste, huh?
Yeah. I'm not a cow, man.
So the bottom line is the overwhelming majority of beaches on Kauai are safe and healthy. that almost all the streams are polluted and unhealthy, and that is primarily because of the septic tank cesspool system that we have here on the island with no central sewage treatment. And the worst are always the Hanamalu and the Maha'ulepu area, and now Willy Stream. And just so you know, at the last Surfrider Foundation meeting, there was quite a bit of discussion on how to spend the money that our generous donors have given Surfrider Foundation. And one of the things is we're ready to get some lawyers to sue the DNLR and the Department of Health for not posting signs. So be ready for that.
Thank goodness, yeah. Man. It's been going on for really,
you know,
long
we've
time.
Been just yeah,
8 years at least.
It's absurd. It's absurd that, because that now Willy Stream is right the picnic benches there where the little kids sit and play with.
Yeah, right.
You
there.
Know, that's just not okay. That's a dirty.
So they're gonna put the biohazard sign on a sign and put it out there?
Yeah, I don't know. But that's what we're at.
That's about what
do.
You should put up there. Yeah.
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 It is a biohazard. So. All right. So that's the water quality report from the Surfrider Foundation. Thank you, Carl Berg, newly elected chair of Surfrider Foundation and long term head of the. Blue Water Task Force testing program.
And if you want to get these results, you can go online at
kauaisurfrider.org, and they're all posted there. Surfrider.org/Kauai is another way to get to that website, and they're all the tests are there. And if, you know, somebody just stopped me out at this, it wasn't somebody, it was Allison, the who did the terrific show we just had, and she asked, how can you get an area tested? And just contact surfriderkauai@gmail.com and say, I'd like to sample X Beach, and we'll hook you up. They'll put you, you know, give you some bottles, and you go get a sample, and drop, and we'll take care of it. The lab is run by Carl Berg, so.
Hooray!
Yeah, if you wanna add another place, I think there's what 30 places they test now.
And yeah.
So anyway, moving right along, but in the same vein, Dr. Carl Berg, marine biologist and chair of the Surfrider Foundation, has also started a pesticide testing program for the island of Kauai. And what we're doing is, and I say we because I tested 8 places myself. I got samples out on the west side irrigation ditches. On public property, by the way, I didn't do any trespassing. And these, we're screening the various, they're called ditches, rightly so, because the plantation masters took the streams and straightened them out and made them into ditches. And 40% of the streams of the ditches tested showed positive for atrazine.
40%?
And Roundup. 40%, yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
What are they doing about that?
Well, you know, we're doing more tests. And, you know, we really, in order to have credibility, because we're well, actually, no, these
you need
are,
a lot of data.
We need data.
And even
yeah.
when you have that data, they'll try to confuse you and make you think that it isn't data.
Oh, boy, I'll say.
At least I've seen.
I was pretty bummed on that article in the Garden Island from the Department of Health guy. He made it sound all complicated and like this and that and the other thing. And it's like, no, I don't think so. So anyway, yeah, because, you know, these things, as we always say on these shows, side. You've got homicide.
My favorite line.
Genocide. Patricide.
Suicide.
Side means to kill.
And, fungicide.
You know, these are poisons that kill. And, you know, you put them in the water that runs down to the beach.
They're still going to do their job.
They're going to kill. They're killers, you know. So it's not okay to dump pesticides in the waters owned by the people of the United States.
There you go.
Remember, all the running water in the United States is owned by the people of the United States.
Unless it's sold off to some conglomerate.
Yeah. there's some gray areas, but yeah. The water is
gray,
public property.
Water quality.
50 shades of gray. Yeah.
Oh.
All right. So That's the story on the pesticides. So the preliminary tests, 40% were positive 40. For atrazine and Roundup.
That is just terrible.
Thank you for the Surf Rider Foundation for allocating the money. Those tests are really expensive. And thank you for Carl Berg for all your scientific expertise for doing all that stuff. That's really, right. really cool.
Talk about pesticide testing. There was a KB meeting that went on...
That's right.
3 weeks ago or so, and dealing with the county has allocated some money for testing. Well, they're going to test pollen, and so there was a meeting about that to see who was up for it. It looks like there was enough money allocated for 10 tests.
10 tests.
They're not going to test for glyphosate.
Glyphosate.
I never
yeah.
say it right.
Roundup. Just call it Roundup. Everybody knows Roundup.
But they're not going to test for that though.
They're not.
No, they're not. But thanks to Carl Berg and...
Well, the reason they're not is because where they're sending it to the lab, they're sending it, that lab does not test.
Oh, they don't do
for
it.
It.
Yeah.
So Carl suggested a few others. There was a debate or a talk about where to actually send
yeah.
the samples. So.
Well, you know, I know a couple of renegade wackos that tested honey over there by Dow AgroSciences. And that had Roundup in it.
Yes.
I personally was involved in that because
quite high.
Diana was in charge of it. My wife, Diana Levez, was in charge of that. And that had Roundup. But, yeah, I understand that Round... Who owns Roundup? Is that Monsanto?
Monsanto, I think.
Yeah. They also own the test.
Oh, yeah.
And it made it real hard to get and expensive.
That's good business,
yeah.
Then.
It's very smart.
But yeah. Carl Berg's was at the meeting as well.
Oh,
and,
good.
And he put forth the option of getting honey tested
mm-hmm.
and for Roundup. And so that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So there's potential in all avenues. So
how do you test the pollen? In the beehive?
Yeah, you would open up the beehive and take some, because there's pollen stores.
Oh,
bee bread inside the...
Oh, I see. Bee bread, it's called.
That's what I call it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They said that would be more accurate.
More likely, yeah. Be more likely. But yeah.
They also put forth the thing about testing the tissues of the bees. And that would be where you would find it if it was actually in the insect.
Yeah.
Here.
So. Well, you know, that's a good call because I remember hearing a lecture on whales, false killer whales that don't come anywhere near shore, nowhere near shore. These whales had all kinds of chemicals in their body. You know, they didn't kill the whale to test it. They just took a sample of their fat,
uh-huh.
and they found DDT and flame retardants and PCBs,
oh,
and
wow.
you name it. These poor dolphins had poisons in their body, and just to think that the Japanese, some Japanese are trying to eat dolphins, it's like whoa.
The article I have is Japan. They bought Norwegian whale meat. Reported in April, showed 0.2 parts per million of aldrin and dieldrin combined, in addition to 0.7 parts per million of chlordane.
Really?
Chlordane, they outlawed that.
Wow.
That was a termite.
Did you say, are you reading it right, parts per million?
Yeah,
or parts
ppm.
Per billion?
Ppm.
That's a lot. That's a lot. We're measuring parts per billion.
So,
holy crow.
And then in June, they found it was 0.2 parts per million of
0.2.
Dieldrin.
Wow.
So,
there you have it.
So what are these things?
What? The pesticides?
All those fancy words.
In the whale meat. So, and the whale meat was imported from Norway.
Wow. Yeah, they're to kill bugs.
Oh.
Those things are to kill
so
bugs.
So Japan's safety limits for the pesticides are 0.1 ppm for aldrin and dieldrin combined.
Yeah.
And 0.5 ppm for chlordane.
Wow.
So that was a big deal that just happened just last week, or it had to be within the last week and a half.
I remember once, this was maybe 3 years ago, welcoming the whale ceremony at Kealia Beach that's run by Koholalea. a woman from Japan said that they used to serve whale meat in the schools in Japan.
Wow. There you go. Feed the kids that.
Yeah.
Good way to get rid of it.
Whoa. Yeah, and she was crying talking about it. She felt so bad that she ate whale meat when she was a kid. Yeah, well, it's like, wow.
Pretty amazing.
Gnarly. They don't do it anymore, though. They don't do it anymore. That's good.
So before we leave pesticides.
Yeah.
Like they own this blood clot place and they don't. Jaw earth and jaw seeds. Fire, Monsanto.
Yeah, so we've got a little list. You have it.
I've got a list. How long will it last? Is that where we're at?
No. The pesticide foods.
Oh, the list. Pesticides.
Environmental Working Group is a group that does their homework in terms of this kind of stuff, and they just recently published their list of, what do they call it, the Dirty Dozen?
The Dirty Dozen. Yeah. So, here you go. Here are the things that are the
highest.
Listen
carefully, folks. This is important.
The highest in pesticides. Apples, celery, cherry tomatoes, cucumbers, grapes, nectarines, hot peppers, kale and collard greens, sweet bell peppers, strawberries, spinach, snap peas, potatoes, and peaches. Those are the Dirty Dozen. For
pretty much everything I eat.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, the cherry tomatoes you can grow in your backyard, they're like weeds. So there's no excuse. Apples, that's the big problem. You can buy organic apples at the health food stores.
Yeah, mealy and everything.
And celery, you can buy organic celery at the health food stores.
Cucumbers
also organic.
It's all stuff that's boated in except for cherry tomatoes and hot peppers and some greens.
Now,
everything else, just don't eat things that are shipped in, man. Really?
Peaches? Costco has all this stuff. Grapes, man, it comes from some Latin American country. I forgot what. But, God, don't eat it.
Dirty does it.
Yeah.
Right. But here's some clean ones.
Yeah, here are the good stuff. Yeah.
Asparagus.
I ate a few of these.
Avocados.
All right.
Cabbage. Cantaloupe. Cauliflower. Eggplant. Grapefruit. Kiwi. Sweet potatoes. Sweet peas. Sweet corn, pineapples, papayas, onions, and mangoes. All things that grow here.
Yeah.
So
that's
pretty much.
I'm breaking even then.
Yeah.
I eat all of those too. So.
They all grow here pretty much.
Yeah.
The majority. So, try not to eat things that aren't shipped in.
That's it.
That's really what it comes down to, at least to
sustainability.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What a word.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll ever get there.
Well, I'm a big advocate of shipping in, but if you're a member of Costco, they have frozen organic fruit. And
there you go. There's a carbon footprint.
I did a cheap shot on Costco.
Well,
but they also have a lot of good frozen organic fruit.
I mean, it comes over on a boat with
it's definitely changing.
Freezer.
They're what they carry.
Organic is taking off. You see it in all kinds of places now that you did not.
That's the way we used to grow until we discovered pesticides after World War II. Right?
Yeah, we had to find a use for them.
Gray, Agent Orange.
We had a stockpile, yeah.
Right. Yes. What are we going to do with all this? Can't let it go to waste.
Yeah, let's spray it on this stuff.
Let's bury it in the ground.
What our great-grandparents, everything was organic then. Everything.
Yeah, exactly.
My great-grandparents, not you guys. But
it's not like pesticides have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And they make it sound like, well, you can't farm without it. What could we do?
Yeah.
This is a rocking dish.
No, the whole question of industrial agriculture, the whole model is, I think, imploding. The pesticides are like antibiotics. They work for a while and they don't work anymore because they're overused and the bugs get resistant and blah, 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 blah. And the whole industrial agricultural system is starting to melt down. Yeah. Okay, so very good. So
plant a garden. Eat a lot of peaches.
Yeah. Now, they don't grow peaches here, do they?
No.
No.
That I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Moving along before we run out of time.
All right. Yeah, we got a
pesticide buffer bill. It's still going, huh?
Yeah.
They haven't shut that down or taken all the wind out of its sails?
You know, and I get these frantic calls. You got to go to Honolulu and testify. And then these people went all the way to Honolulu and they canceled the friggin' thing. And I'm like, oh, man, really? I didn't go. But, yeah, it's... you know, the
dirty business.
So much of the decisions on agriculture are made in Honolulu and Oahu, where they don't do agriculture.
You
know, the agriculture in the West Kauai is a big deal. That's where I live. I mean, the whole place is corn. Corn everywhere. And, you know, all the streams are polluted and the air gets polluted with all the spray. And you guys remember the school? They sprayed and all those kids and teachers
stinkweed,
got sick.
Stinkweed,
you know, it's like, yeah, these, geez, you know, I mean, I used to live in California 15 years
careful
ago.
With that one.
You're not from around here, are you?
15 years ago, they outlawed spraying pesticides near schools. I mean, it was like, duh. These are little kids. What, are you going to spray poison around little kids?
It seems like a no-brainer, but it's sure a big battle.
But it's a controversy in the legislature in Hawaii. It's like, what?
You can buy Raid at a store so you can spray it under your sink.
Wow, that's true. You can spray
your
it on your
kids at home way more than he's outside.
You know, Dennis Kucinich, the congressman from, what was it? Cleveland or someplace in Ohio, he ran for president. He said, "We have the best government that money can buy." There you have it. Our government is just for sale, you know. And anyway, yeah. So the buffer bill is still floating around the legislature.
I'm surprised.
Deserves our support.
Yes.
Deserves our support. Anytime you see one of those guys that represent us, Derek Kawakami, D. Morikawa, Jimmy Tokioka, Kuchi, what's his name, Ron Kuchi or Kochi, you know, just tell them, we don't want schools to have pesticide sprayed near them. So, moving right along and talking about a very, very big campaign that has been going on now for a number of years. Styrofoam Free Kauai. Styrofoam Free Kauai is a campaign that is jointly run by the Surfrider Foundation chapter in Kauai and Zero Waste Kauai, both of which are tackling this program as an educational campaign. And we're trying to educate restaurants not to use styrofoam. And last summer, the two groups went to every single solitary restaurant on the island and asked them whether or not they use styrofoam or not. And the list was published in the Garden Island, and it's on the Surfrider Foundation website of the restaurants that do not use styrofoam. And I urge you, KauaiSurfrider.org, check out that list. But if you go to a restaurant and you want to take home the overly large portion they gave you, ask them, do you use styrofoam? And if they say yes, then say, well, could you please put it in tin foil, because we don't use styrofoam in our family. It's dangerous. When you reheat it, the polystyrene turns into styrene, which is a known carcinogen. And we don't want styrofoam to fill up our landfills. And worst of all, we don't want it to be beach trash. And the beach trash winds up in the ocean. It comes down the streams. Birds eat it. Fish eat it. I just saw where a whale, a great big whale, I forgot what kind now, but a great big whale died, and it was choked on plastic. It was in Norway. It's like, wow, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty pathetic that a whale would choke on plastic. You know, I could see a little tiny bird choking on it. But
you know, plastic has that ability to absorb chemicals. And they use it in the ballast of the ships to absorb the chemicals. So then when these birds and whales eat it, goes into their digestive tract. All the plastic lets loose of all those chemicals. And it poisons them.
Especially styrofoam.
Yeah.
It is spongy.
Terrible.
Yeah. So, but, when you see a county council member, talk to them about, let's get styrofoam off this island and retail sales. Single-use styrofoam in retail restaurants is something that has been banned in over 100 California cities. Over 100 California cities have limited styrofoam, and it's time that we joined the club here and entered the 21st century.
There you go.
And got rid of that stuff.
And make a suggestion if you, you know, this is my opinion, make a suggestion when you go out to a restaurant and they're like, oh, we got some styrofoam for you. And you're like, you know what, I love Kauai.
We don't have a place to take styrofoam, right? It doesn't recycle, right?
No.
One use only.
One use. And then
how long does it last?
Forever. Every bit of plastic that's ever been produced is still here. Forever.
And will be.
Yeah. Forever. You know, and we need four votes on the city on the county council, and we need the mayor, and we can get rid of this stuff. So, like I said, whenever you bump into any of your county council members or Mayor Carvalho, talk to them about styrofoam because it's time to.
And there's all kinds of alternatives out there. It's not like we'd have to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And styrofoam's only been around for how long? Really?
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, they didn't have styrofoam.
Exactly.
I'm old, but not that old.
And we survived.
You know?
We survived.
Come on.
Since the Graduate.
Oh.
Plastics.
Yeah, plastics.
Going to plastics. Yeah. That's the future.
What was that, a 1969 movie or 1970? Yeah,
here's
that.
To you, Mrs. Robinson.
You know, and... I want to say that's not just wishful thinking, because we've talked to council people who are actually considering making a ordinance to outlaw styrofoam, retail restaurant styrofoam. So let's keep up the pressure and let's educate our friends. Never ever put styrofoam in a microwave oven, because the heat of the food will melt the styrene, which is a well-known carcinogen. And speaking of carcinogens, think about the workers who manufacture this stuff and their cancer rates. So it's something we definitely need to go. Yeah.
We're going to do the Bobby Hour. This is 5:30 at the Kauai Earth Connection. And we're going to Kilauea Point Refuge. So we'll be right back, folks.
Aloha. This is Mike Mitchell, Acting Project Leader.
And this is Jennifer Waipa, Supervisory Park Ranger at the Kauai National Wildlife Refuge Complex.
We're asking for your comments on our draft comprehensive conservation plan for the Kilauea Point National Wildlife Refuge.
This plan will guide our management for the next 15 years. If you're concerned about traffic in Kilauea, accessing Kahili Quarry, the lighthouse, environmental education at the point, and the birds, please put your comments in writing.
You can find a planning update and the full plan on our website at www.fws.gov/Kilauea Point. We're accepting your comments until March 27th. Mahalo.
Wow. All right. Well, that's we were going to talk more about plastic after the styrofoam thing, but that's a perfect lead-in to one of the big things that's going on right now, and that is the Kilauea Wildlife Refuge plan is... on the table here for your comments, and quite frankly, that's been very controversial. There's the view that the wildlife refuge is for wildlife, and you should fence it off and close it down and keep people out and let the birds take it over and let wildlife reign. And that's always been my point of view. The humans have taken over so much of the earth that we need to have protected areas for wildlife to thrive and live without being perturbed and annoyed. And particularly in the ocean, by the way, marine protected areas are ocean wildlife refuges where animals in that particular area of the ocean are protected. But the Kilauea Wildlife Refuge plan, some say, is like not fair to local families that use that area as a place to picnic and party and stuff like that. The managers of the wildlife refuge are saying, well, yeah, but a lot of that stuff is illegal activity. And I don't know exactly what the illegal activity, one of the things that's mentioned is driving on the beach. A lot of folks don't know, but it's a state law. It's illegal to drive on the beaches of the state of Kauai, unless you are a fisherman who has a pole in the water. Otherwise, it's illegal to drive on the beaches. And if you go to the other islands, that law is pretty well enforced everywhere. But on Kauai, they don't enforce it. Occasionally enforced out at Polahalli. But that, I think, is one of the illegal activities. And I know the other illegal activity they talked about was dumping old cars down there and just using the place as a landfill, which I'm quite sure no one supports or advocates. But one of the things that came up at the hearing was, you know, look, you guys, you're turning this place into a Disneyland for tourists. You're going to cover over wildlife refuge area with parking lots and visitor centers and making this just another tourist site. And do we need it? Do we want it? So, you know, you heard the commercial. Actually, KKCR doesn't do commercials. They're underwriters that support KKCR and gave their little deal that it's time to comment on what you think the refuge is. The Rock Quarries is a beach that they're talking about closing after 5 o'clock, gating it off, and that's controversial. I personally have no trouble with it after 5 o'clock, but you know, my thing is that there are certain beaches that you're not going to keep people out of no matter what, and in particularly that's the surfing beaches. The surfing areas are always going to have surfers there. They're going to get there by hook or crook if there's good surf there, and Rock Quarries is a well-known surf spot. So it's going to be hard to keep people out of there no matter what rules or fences you build. But be that as it may, it's a big environmental issue here on the island of Kauai, and I urge all of you to get involved and give your comments to the federal government here. That's a federal wildlife preserve, and let's do it. That's the Kilauea Wildlife Refuge plan, and now I'd like to reboot and go back to the whole plastic thing, because I think that there isn't enough that we can say about plastic. Most of the plastic that is produced in the United States is single-use plastic. It's plastic that winds up in our environment either in a landfill or in a body of water or on the land, and the wind blows it usually in a body of water. So plastic has become an amazing marine issue. It's a big pollution issue, and I think it's important to just kind of have a feel for how long things take to degrade. And we got a good little list here, and I wanted to kind of rattle it down. A paper bag, and I urge you to use canvas bags, please. But if you use a paper bag, it's going to degrade in 1 or 2 months. Whereas a canvas bag you can use for many, many, many years, and a plastic bag will never degrade. It'll always be there. Even if it decompensates into small little bits, it'll still be a pollutant. Carpets last 30 or 40 years, and 4.7 billion pounds of carpets go into landfills every year. And carpets are, you know, you don't keep them for 30 or 40 years. So it's something to think about when you buy a carpet. The carpet in our house is recycled plastic. And I would urge you to consider a carpet that has been recycled. Newspaper is really good recycling material. It can be a newspaper can be recycled once, twice, sometimes even three times. It degrades in 2 or 4 weeks, but it's better to bring it to the recycling center. Music CDs will last forever. Just forget it, you know. Put it on your flash drive. Car tires, not that flash drives will also last forever, but they hold more music. A car tire will last 50 to 80 years, and it's not something that needs to be dumped. It's something that can be recycled. An apple core, just throw it in your backyard. It'll be gone in 2 weeks. Plastic milk jug lasts forever. But you can take it, the number one plastic milk jugs and orange juice jugs and all those big jugs things are easily recycled. And there is a market for that. Glass jars will last 1,000 years. Glass is made out of sand. There, you can take them to the recycle store, the recycle center. They don't have a real good market for recycling, but they are ground up and used for various things. A cotton t-shirt will decompose in 3 to 6 months. It's important to recognize that cotton as a crop has more pesticides than any other crop that's grown in the United States. So always buy organic cotton when you buy cotton. Cotton is a very, very heavily poisonous plant.
What about hemp? Do they pesticide?
No, hemp doesn't use any pesticides. Yeah, hemp is...
Well,
that's a weed.
That seems like that seems like the way to go.
Yeah, yeah. If you can get a hemp shirts, hemp and organic t-shirts are by far the most environmental friendly. Plastic grocery bags break apart in 10 to 20 years, but their little bits are there forever. Nylon windbreakers, 30 to 40 years. A leather shoe, it's an animal product. You'd think it would rot sooner, but it takes about 50 years for a leather shoe to decompose. Tin can, 50 years. Plastic six-pack ring, 100 years to get rid of those things. Cigarette butts, 1 to 5 years. And they're made out of plastic, don't forget. So if you buy cigarettes with the filters on them, don't throw them on the ground if you're a smoker. Aluminum pop cans last 100 to 500 years, but they're easily recycled. Easily recycled. And it's much cheaper to recycle an aluminum can than it is to dig up fresh aluminum bauxite from the earth. Rubber bands will last forever. Orange peels will decompose in a year. Or 2 years. Shirt buttons are plastic and they'll stay forever. Notebook paper, 2 to 4 weeks it's gone. A styrofoam cup, forever. Americans throw away 25 billion styrofoam cups, enough to circle the earth 436 times. Wool coat, 1 to 5 years. A mirror lasts forever, it's made out of glass. Dental floss is plastic, it lasts 1 to 5 years, but it's in little bits. Tennis shoes, 80 years. Cereal box, 4 to 6 weeks. Disposable diapers, they say it'll last 20 years. Enough. Diapers get dumped in the U.S. to stretch to the moon and back 7 times. Batteries and the chemicals in it last forever. Water bottles last forever. I mean, think about it. When you buy it, think about what the life of the product is. We've got this plastic soup in our ocean that's just simply... well, if you eat seafood, and I hope you don't, but if you do, all this plastic is getting into the plankton. It's the little fish are eating it, and the big fish eat the little fish, and the bigger fish eat the big fish, and the great big fish. And your diet, these tunas are a good example. These are great big fish, and they've got all kinds of pollutants from the plastic that's in the ocean, not to mention the mercury that comes from the coal burning. Just think about how you consume things, and you can make a huge difference. So, you know, again, let's be good consumers, and let's urge our government to protect the environment by making rules that'll protect the environment, whether they be rules against poisons in the ground like pesticides, or whether they're rules against using a styrofoam that is going to pollute the environment forever. And I think we'll have a better planet if we all pull together on this stuff. So that's kind of the mantra on plastic for this show. But there's a couple other things we wanted to talk about. And one of them, to me, is a real big deal. And that's dolphins. I would bet if we asked 100 listeners of this show if they like dolphins, all 100 would give a resounding yes. But do you know that the Navy is importing dolphins to Honolulu to train them to be part of the Navy killing machine? It just blows me away that these sentient, intelligent, loving animals that love humans and deliberately go out of their way to swim with humans would be used.
Yeah, but they're combat dolphins now. We've renamed them.
Combat dolphins. Yeah. It's just nuts. It's just nuts. And you know, there just needs to be a humongous outcry. There was no publicity on this in the local media, but the Honolulu media had some press on it, and it's
they've been doing this test using dolphins since 1960.
Yeah.
Wait, so that's quite a while.
Yeah, and they're saying, oh, they're not going to kill anybody. They're just going to find landmines or something like that. What was it?
Right now they used them in the Iraq War. They would send them out ahead of the ships. They would find the landmine, go back to their trainer. And I guess because of the sonar and them tracking them, mm-hmm. they were able to find out where the mines were.
Yeah, a dolphin sends out a sonar and can see things underwater. They can go right in the sand and pick out things that they want to get because they use sound waves. And then they can listen for how the sound waves back. And I guess that's the skill that the Navy is trying to use on these dolphins is their sonar.
Well, that was 12 years ago in the Persian Gulf to clear mines ahead of coalition vessels during the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Just.
I just can't see how you could train an animal to do things like this. It just doesn't make sense. But then again, we've already said that.
You know, and it's just, what we do to animals is just I think it was Gandhi or was it Einstein or somebody said, you can judge humans by how they treat animals, you know, and boy.
The Soviet Union trains dolphins, too.
That's right.
They've been doing it.
They've been doing it in the
20
Ukraine.
Years at least.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. We got this deal. So we need to speak up for the whales. We need to speak up for the dolphins. We need to be their representatives. It's I thank groups that do stuff like that. Big issue in Kaloa, Mahaulepu, is the dairy farm. The dairy farm is grubbing and grading and doing things already, getting ready to build their 2,000 cow dairy farm right near the tourist area of Kauai and Puipu. And they're getting a lot of blowback. And the latest blowback is that the expert attorney on combined animal feeding operations, what do they call them? Factory farm attorney sent the notice to sue. Because they are doing work without a permit and they're violating the Clean Water Act because they don't have a federal permit to pollute the streams and the ocean. And the folks in Kaloa and Puipu are pretty annoyed by this. They formed their own group. It's called Friends of Mahaulepu, not to be confused with Malama Mahaulepu, which also is opposed to the dairy farm. As well as the Surfrider Foundation. In fact, the Surfrider Foundation just contributed $10,000 to the lawsuit
tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. So, you know, the groups are stepping forward and saying, you know, this is not a good place for a dairy farm right in a tourist area. And, you know, from where I sit, you know, I'm a retired physician. I'm a retired family physician. Used to work for Kaiser Permanente my entire career, and dairy's not good for you. It's not a healthy food. Everybody shouldn't drink milk. Nobody should drink milk except baby cows, and baby humans should drink their mother's milk, and that's it. And no other species drinks the milk of another species except humans. And it's not a healthy food. It's 50% saturated fat, which we know is raises your cholesterol and causes arteriosclerosis. So why do we want to produce more milk and cheese and butter and all these unhealthy foods? Yeah, they taste good, sure, but they're not good for you. And you know, the cows create so much pollution. Not just their poop, but because they're fed grain, which is an unnatural food for them, they belch, and what they belch is methane, which is half the global warming gas produced in the United States is methane from cows.
They don't do that in the wild, do they? Well, they still
no grass eating cows don't do it, but
right.
And they say these are going to be grass eating cows, but there's not enough land for 2,000 cows.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not enough acreage. I mean, 2,000 cows. I said earlier in the show, I go to Pakala Bay every day to go surf out in the morning, and they run 10 cows through the woods in Pakala Bay, and in a couple of days that area is stripped. All the elephant grass, that big California grass, gone. The cave trees gone. You know, and they're just a few cows, and most of them are just little babies.
But that's what they do, right?
Yeah,
that's
they're
just doing what they're supposed to do.
What they're doing, and they're eating how cows are supposed to eat. You know, they're not eating oats and
right.
soy and corn and all that GMO food. You know, God only knows what that does to the cows. So, you know, bottom line is thank you for the friends of Maha'alepu for standing up against industrial agriculture in a tourist zone. Which leads me to question, and I often bring it up on this show, is that there's a lot of folks, a lot of good folks, a lot of well-meaning folks that still think that the Hawaiian Islands are an agricultural area. And I got to tell you that when land costs, you know, $10,000-$20,000 an acre, it becomes a little too expensive for agriculture. Land in Iowa is $10,000 an acre, and that's considered too expensive. Well, you know, you want to buy an acre of land in Moloa'a, you're going to spend, you know, $100,000 for an acre. And people want to build a nice vacation home or retirement home there. They don't want to build a farm. And, you know, that's really what's happening to the Hawaiian Islands, is that agriculture is going the way of the horse and buggy. I think, yeah, there are some boutique farms and some locally grown gardens and la-di-da, but, you know, big, large-scale agriculture only makes sense on cheap land that was taken away from the Hawaiians. The Hawaiian kings, what's it called, sovereign lands, and rented out to grow corn three seasons a year for seed. And even that wouldn't make sense if those folks had to buy that land at market prices out there on the west side. But the Robinson family rents out that land pretty darn cheap to those companies, because they own the land outright, because they hoodwinked the Hawaiian kings into getting a sweetheart deal. But in my view, it's time to forget. Yeah, they used to grow sugarcane here up until, 8 or 10 years ago, but even that was so highly subsidized by so many federal protections and subsidies that it never was profitable. Sugarcane was never profitable. So, anyway, that's the story on agriculture on the island of Kauai, the dairy farm and whatnot. I think that we've really covered a heck of a lot this thing. We did the water tests. So we're pretty clean this month. The Surfrider Foundation is doing pesticide testing on the on all over the island, north to the west side. The Agriculture Department has given some money for testing the bee pollen and the bee honey, which is pretty cool. Seeing that we talked about the buffer bill of spraying pesticides near schools and homes and making a limit there. Gary Hooser's bill that has been
much maligned
and held up in court right now was doing that buffer, but this is a state law. We gave a list of the worst pesticide foods and the best ones. We talked about the Styrofoam Free campaign, asking you to tell your council people and mayor that we want to get rid of retail Styrofoam in restaurants. We talked about how long different plastics last, and pretty much plastic is forever. It never goes away. The Kilauea Wildlife Refuge Management Plan is up for comment, and it's time to comment now. We talked about the Navy dolphins and the Navy training...
Combat dolphins,
training them to kill the dairy farm. And I just wanted to announce a couple things. There's going to be a meeting in Kekaha, I think it's Thursday, about the Polahali Road Management Plan. So if you're interested in that... It'll be at the Kekaha Community Center, I think, at 6 o'clock on Thursday. The Whale Voice, Kohola Leo, has their... every fourth Friday, they have a movie, a free movie on whales or the ocean at the Kapa'au Library at 7 o'clock. And this Friday, they're going to do a tribute to the actor Leonard Nimoy. Leonard Nimoy was an advocate for the ocean and an advocate for whales, and he directed a film that they're going to show on the fourth Friday at 7 o'clock at the Kapa'a Library called Star Trek, The Voyage Home, and it's about the importance of whales in saving the Earth. And it's an old movie, and it doesn't have the razzle-dazzle special effects that movies nowadays have. But it's a very touching movie, and I think it's an important movie. And I'm really glad that Kohola Leo is showing it. And I want to just send out love to Leonard Nimoy, wherever you are. Thank you for being Mr. Spock and becoming that character in real life. You were a cool guy, and thank you. So I think that pretty much wraps us up for today. We'll see you in the next fourth Friday. And
fourth Friday, where are you
excuse
at?
Excuse me. I was thinking fourth Friday.
Third Monday.
Kohola Leo.
Third Monday,
yeah.
There you go.
Why Earth Connection, third Monday of each month, and we're here to give news and commentary on the Kauai environment.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is it time to say goodnight?
Goodnight.
Goodnight.